This meeting of the House State Affairs Committee will come to order. The time is 3:05 on March 14th. Members present are Representative Johnson, Representative Story, Representative Wright, and myself, Representative Shaw. Representative Armstrong is participating via teleconference. We have a quorum to conduct business. If you would, please silence your cell phones. If anyone in the audience today needs to pass a note to committee members, please give them to the attention of our committee aide, Josh Walton. I'd like to thank our committee secretary, Sophia Tenney, and for teleconferencing, Talia James Ames. Our first order of business is House Bill 2, an act relating to contracts with public agencies and relating to the State of Israel, sponsored by Representative Vance. We first heard this bill on February 28th, at which time we heard the presentation of the bill and invited testimony. At our last hearing, March 7th, we adopted a committee substitute and held the bill over. Today, our intention is to hear public testimony and determine the will of the committee. With that, I'll go ahead and open public testimony. I'd like to make note, if I could, since we have a number of people online, if you just limit your testimony to 2 minutes. Okay. Go ahead. We have public testimony. We've got Queen Parker online. If you would just introduce yourself and your affiliation, please. Queen Parker, are you there? Taking at ease. Okay, Queen Parker, did you take your phone off mute? Okay, we'll come back to you. Next in the queue is Bob Kaufman. Bob, are you online?
Hi, yeah, this is Bob Kaufman in Anchorage. Thank you. So I have 3 kids in the Anchorage school system, and they are definitely feeling the rise in anti-Semitism. My 13-year-old is at Romick. He's short. And a kid said to him recently, the only reason you're here is because your grandparents were short enough to duck out of the gas chamber. Now, I don't think 13-year-olds harbor any ill intent, but they do absorb what they hear in the culture around them. And this is exactly what BDS was designed to do. It was designed to villainize Israel. It's just another expression of the world's oldest hatred. With all the human rights abuses in the world, did you ever wonder why BDS advocates focus on Israel, not Arab countries? Not what the Palestinian leadership does to its own people, not China or North Korea. It's because the purpose of BDS is not to bring peace. Its co-founder made that clear when he said, quote, I clearly do not buy into the two-state solution. Why would you negotiate a compromise of Israel with Israel if you think you can win all of Israel through the BDS movement? I want to read you a quote from a prominent Israeli-Palestinian human rights activist. He said, I do not believe BDS advocates are helping our cause. On the contrary, they are just creating more hatred, enmity, and polarization. BDS spokespeople live in comfortable circumstances elsewhere in the world and will not suffer any hardship, and yet they are prepared to fight to the last drop of our Palestinian blood, end quote. Anti-BDS legislation is in the Alaska and U.S. interest. U.S.-Israeli trade creates billions of dollars of investment and tens of thousands of jobs. BDS aims to end this mutually beneficial relationship by severing cooperation between the U.S. and Israel. Anti-BDS legislation is a way to push back against these efforts to disrupt U.S.-Israel trade and to weaken Israel as the homeland of the Jewish people. Furthermore, this particular legislation is well-designed. Its scope is consistent with anti-BDS legislation passed in other states, amended to comply with the First Amendment, and upheld by the Eighth Court Circuit of Appeals. If we truly care about the Palestinians, the homeland of the Jewish people, and industry, commerce, and innovation, we will enact anti-BDS legislation to take off the table the Palestinian leadership's dark fantasy that they can win by liquidating Israel rather than accept Israel's right to exist and negotiate in good faith. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kaufman. Gary Morton, are you on board?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, could you please give us your name?
Gary Morton calling from Anchorage. Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, for holding this important hearing and for each member in particular, we appreciate the privilege to share our thoughts with you today. For the last 27 years, I've served as pastor of Anchorage First Assembly of God Church. I also serve the now 40,434 Alaska members of Christians United for Israel as our state ministry engagement coordinator. They would all want me to encourage you that HB2 is not only vital to Israel, but also to the Alaska Jewish and Christian communities. We've joined together to urge your, I trust, your unanimous and bipartisan support for HB2 because the campaign to boycott Israel is immoral. And as we heard earlier, its goal is not to bring peace, but to destroy not only Israel, but the Jewish people. To accomplish that, the BDS movement strategy wants to systematically develop cancerous, bigoted anti-Jewish perspectives by coercing businesses and institutions. And history shows us that when that happens, discrimination, hatred, and ultimately persecution follows. And so it's no coincidence that with the rise of the BDS hate movement, there's been a parallel rise in anti-Semitic crime across our country, even in Alaska. Yesterday's updated FBI report on 2021 hate crime shows that anti-Semitic hate crimes increased nationally by nearly 20%. That represents the majority of religious-based hate crimes committed in our country in 2021. That's intolerable. Alaska may seem like we're far removed from what takes place in the Middle East with our ally Israel, but in reality, we all have a front row seat to combat anti-Semitic hatred, and as a state, we must do the right thing for Israel and the Jewish people and not hesitate. So I respectfully urge each of you to please support HB2. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Mr. Morton. I'd like to make note that Representative Carpenter joined us at 3:10. If anybody has any questions along the way for any of the testifiers, please let me know and we'll call on you. Okay, next in the queue is Alice Morton. Like to identify yourself and your affiliation, please.
Hi, nice to be able to speak with you. My name is Alice Morton, and I'm calling from Anchorage. Thanks so much for holding this important hearing. I support HB2 because Israel is a good trade partner for Alaska, and it contributes materially to our quality of life. Sadly, Israel is also the target of a hate movement that seeks to isolate it economically, alienate it socially, and coerce even neutral businesses into joining their hate-driven boycott against their will. The BDS boycott, divestment, and sanctions hate movement targets Israelis, the Jewish people, and their trade partners like Alaska. Now with 35 states from both sides of the political spectrum having enacted similar legislation as you have before you, it is time for Alaska to make this important legislation a reality. Please support HB2 today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Morton. Next in the queue, we have Paula Colescott. I'd like to introduce yourself and your affiliation, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I'm Paula Colescott, and I'm an Anchorage resident for over 20 years and a member of Christians United for Israel. And I know that we are somewhat removed from the Middle East. However, it's been mentioned Israel and Alaska enjoy mutual beneficial relationships, not only relating to Israel's related investment by the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation, since 1996, actually. But also, we share U.S.-Israel mission defense cooperation in Kodiak, as you know. It's been cited that the co-founder of BDS has stated definitely, most definitely, we oppose a Jewish state in any part of Palestine. So the political gain for BDS is really to bring down the state of Israel. The Jewish people are indigenous to the land with an unbroken presence in the Holy Land. Even though its foreign powers have conquered the Holy Land, treated as nothing more than a prize to be won for many, many years, it's had an uninterrupted Jewish presence since the times of King David. And so standing with Israel seems to be rather American in defending the Jewish people's right to self-determination in their ancestral homeland. So with Pastor Gary, I would say that this would be the right thing to do, but also in our state's interest and our country's national security interest as well. And so for that reason, I would urge you to support this measure. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Colescott. Next in the queue, we have Brad Lowry. I'd like to introduce yourself and your affiliation, please.
Yeah, my name is Brad Lowry. I'm an Anchorage resident. And I just want to thank you today for holding this hearing on HB2 and for taking the time to hear from me. First of all, I just want to say thank you to the members, but also those that have testified before me. I don't want to repeat everything that everybody has said already, but I would just like to underline, and I agree with what's been spoken so far. I support HB2 because this bill simply ensures that Alaskan taxpayer dollars are not spent subsidizing any anti-Semitic effort, which is designed really to achieve financially what terrorists have failed to achieve with missiles and with bullets and with other acts of terror, which is really the destruction of the state of Israel. This particular law doesn't constrain any individual's right to boycott, but rather it makes very clear that the state of Alaska does not wish to use taxpayer money to support companies who engage in discriminatory boycotts of Israel. So today I just simply ask you to support HB2, and again, just thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Lowry. I'm going to just roll back here to see if Queen Parker's online yet.
Hi.
Okay, yeah, Ms. Parker, could you please introduce yourself and give us your affiliation, please?
Yes, my name is Queen Parker, and I live in Sterling, Alaska. And I'm just calling in favor of HB2, and all those that are in favor of HB2, I agree with everything that they have said. That we all have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I agree that it is a hate movement. And what the fellow just said just now, that we don't want to, whatever he said was good. So, anyway, that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. I'd like to make note that Representative Allard came on board at 3:15.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Next in the queue is Ivan Hodes. Would you like to introduce yourself and your affiliation, please?
Hi, good afternoon. Hello?
Hello, Ivan. Ivan Hodes, can you hear us?
Yes. So my name is Ivan Hodes. I am actually calling from Ukiavik today, but I'm a resident of Anchorage. I'm also a member of the Jewish congregation in Anchorage, Congregation Beth Shalom, although I'm not speaking on behalf of the congregation. These are strictly my own views. So I would actually like to speak in opposition to this bill. I do believe that it is an imposition on the right to freedom of expression. It is a right of a business to choose what entities they do and do not do business against, and I don't feel that the state of Alaska should be in the position of determining whether those choices are acceptable or not. Although I recognize that some support of BDS is rooted in anti-Semitism, I do not believe that all of it is. There are very many practices of by the current government of Israel that I personally find objectionable. I find that the state of Israel carries out policies that that I find to be in conflict with my interpretation of my religion, Judaism, and therefore I reject the idea that any criticism of Israel is anti-Semitic. In fact, as what's known as a diaspora Jew, I object to the idea that Israel and the Jewish identity are one and the same. There are very many Jews all around the world, including myself, who, while I personally support the existence of the state of Israel, I also recognize that there is much of what it does that's objectionable. So I object to this notion that any critique of Israel is anti-Semitic. And furthermore, I would suggest that there is a measure of hypocrisy in this bill. I note that most, but not all, of the people who have testified so far have been Christians rather than Jews. And I would submit that a lot of these same people are silent about the anti-Semitism that occurs from the right here in our own country. And certainly anti-Semitism is not...
Mr. Hodes, could you finish up your testimony, please? We have 2 minutes.
Yes, yes, yes. So I'd just like to point out that there's a great deal of anti-Semitism, including within your own body, that is enabled by the sponsor of this bill, that people are silent about. So I think that if people are truly committed to anti-Semitism, they would object to the domestic form of anti-Semitism as well and consider adding that to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Rhodes.
Thank you.
Representative Vance, would you like to make any comments one way or the other? All right, thank you. Okay, next in the queue, Alex Copeland. If you'd like to introduce yourself and your affiliation, please.
Yeah, you can hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, hello, my name is Alex Copeland. I have lived in Homer since 1988. I represent myself today, and I am opposed to HB2 Israel Discrimination Act. I want to thank you all for your time and service because the work you do is important. HB2 is legislation aimed at ensuring that our state's taxpayer dollars prohibit discrimination against the state of Israel. Just a quick note. I'm still not aware that we're paying state taxpayer dollars. I know I do the borough and the city, but I'm not aware of the state. I don't pay an income tax to the state, so I found that misleading. As I said, I am opposed to this bill moving forward. First, if you disagree with Israel on any issue, does that mean you are anti-Semitic, like the last speaker talked about? Not in the slightest. I should know. I am the rabbi of East End Road. Swede Carlson gave me that title 25 years ago. But I speak just for me. I'm not really, you know, that was just a fun thing because we tease. I am proud of my Jewish heritage. I share my Jewish heritage wherever I go, in schools, in my home, in communities and events in Homer. I am part of the frozen and chosen. But seriously, I disagree with many things that Israel is doing. This new government is trying to take away power from the courts, and definitely this new government is infringing on rights of Palestinians. The news has lots of stories of how the country is divided over many of these issues. Last week, 50,000 Israelis gathered in the streets protesting what the government is trying to do to weaken the courts. Netanyahu is dealing with corruption and a divided country. I am opposed to many issues currently going on. Does that make me anti-Semitic? I am also concerned on how Alaska State's money is being used. We are one country in particular set up some red flags. We do business with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is full of human rights violations, and they're not really great friends with Israel. We also do business with Egypt and Jordan. And yet, you know, this is a money that Alaska is using. Not my taxpayer dollars, but this is money going to countries that don't support Israel. The bill gives too much power to Israel. I've been there twice, and I love it. And one time in 1987, there was a small intifada going on. I support Israel wholeheartedly as a country. I support the two-state solution. I support a democracy that supports all of its citizenry, whoever lives in that area. Israel is not perfect. Israel is not going anywhere. They are secure. They are safe. They have major support around the world and allies like the U.S. being one of their strongest allies. It is no longer 1948, 1967, or 1973. I worry more about the plight of the Palestinians. They're not all terrorists.
Mr. Copeland, could you finish up your testimony, please?
Yeah, I'm going to finish up. I'm not anti-Semitic, but I think open discussion and conversation and disagreement about policies is healthy. But boycotting businesses that do not do business with Israel because you think they may be anti-Semitic is not good government. We need freedom of speech in this area. Thank you for your time. Sorry, I went a little over.
Thank you, Mr. Copeland. Appreciate your testimony. Next in the queue, we have Shava Shapira. I hope I got that pronunciation right. If you'd like to introduce yourself and your affiliation.
Hi, my name is Shava Shapira. I am a lifelong Alaskan. I was raised here in town by two Jewish parents. I had my bat mitzvah at Congregation Beth Shalom. However, I also attended Lubavitch House for Sunday school for many years. My brother, also raised here in Alaska, is a Lubavitch rabbi. My father was buried as a rabbi, and both my uncles are rabbis. So safe to say I'm fairly Jewish. I mention all this because I strongly oppose this bill. The critiques of BDS so far have described it as meant to villainize Israel, hateful fuels, leads to hate crimes. I think the first speaker here identifies the rise in anti-Semitism and laid it at its feet, at the feet of BDS. However, what does BDS look like realistically? It means not, it means allowing people to boycott products made in Israel. Do I have to buy Sabra hummus when I buy hummus, or am I anti-Semitic if I don't? The BDS program is a political speech designed to allow people to object in a non-violent way to the policies of Israel. This legislation is anti-free speech. It is against the First Amendment, so it will likely be struck down by the Supreme Court in the long run. It has nothing to do with protecting Jews in Alaska from anti-Semitism. It has everything to do with targeting other leftist movements and allowing ways for the government to monitor political speech. There's a reason that boycotts are considered political and protected speech. This legislation goes above and beyond what is allowable under the First Amendment. It sets a dangerous precedent in the name of protecting Jews when it does not actually protect Jews. I agree with the speaker who discussed the fact that there is anti-Semitism instead in the right-wing body politics. This is better addressed here by discussing the ways in which Republicans tend to espouse anti-Semitic ideas. It's problematic to tie Israel to all Jews, to assume that being anti-Israel is anti-Jewish, because I am Jewish and critical of Israel. Ultimately, this legislation does not provide any protection to Alaskans, does nothing but to limit our ability to have free speech, and does nothing to support Jews in Alaska, in the United States, or in Israel. We should absolutely oppose this legislation, and I know that my opinion is rooted not just in my belief in free speech, but also in my belief as a Jew who is opposed to Israel. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Shapiro. Rep. Aller, do you have a question?
I do.
Can I take a break of these real quick?
I have this speaker mixed up with someone else, so I'll go ahead and I don't have a question.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, next in the queue is John Miller. Please introduce yourself and your affiliation.
Thank you. My name is John Miller. I live in the Matsu Valley, and I would like to speak in support of HB 2. The Nation of Israel is and has been a strong ally of the U.S. since its conception in 1948. Just like Israel, the U.S. does not have many friends in the region of this part of the world. It is very important and in the best interest of the United States and of Alaska to support Israel in any way possible and to discourage or even punish countries or corporations who attempt to do harm to one of our closest friends and allies. Therefore, I support HB2. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Next in the queue, we have Lauren Baxter. Please put yourself on the record and your affiliation.
This is Lauren Baxter. I'm from Anchorage, Alaska, and I've been a longtime supporter of Israel and also the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews and Christians United for Israel. And I'm calling today in support of HB2 for several reasons. First, I believe the Jewish people have a right to a biblical homeland, especially after it was established after the Holocaust. And since 1948, they've turned what was basically a barren wasteland into a thriving country, rich with technological advancements in agriculture, water supply, and high-tech industries. They are also one of the leading developers of technology anywhere in the world. Israel is the only democracy in the area surrounded by dictators and is one of our strongest allies in a very unforgiving region of the world. The recent Abraham Accords demonstrate Israel's desire to build better relationships with nearby countries, regardless of differences, and are working to develop even stronger bonds. Most of those countries that they've joined forces with are also not in support of the Palestinian movement or the BDS movement. And Israel is one of the strong few countries in the region that allows freedom of religion, regardless of whether you're a Jew, a Christian, or a Muslim. And it's one of the few where all religions are represented in their governing body, the Knesset. From a personal perspective, I appreciate their capabilities for development of effective missile defense technology. I worked as the first project manager and later as a program manager for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers when we were first planning, designing, and constructing the missile defense system here in Alaska. First at Fort Greeley and Shimia, and then later I worked on the system in Romania for the European deployment. And I really came to appreciate the effectiveness of Israeli missile technology with their great success with Iron Dome and David Sling. On a visit once with Senator Dan Sullivan a few years ago, I even came to further appreciate the impact they had on our own missile defense system. Senator Sullivan shared about a recent meeting with an Israeli program, missile defense program scientist, and how they had improved thrust nozzles for the missile defense system, and they were sharing that technology with the United States.
Mr. Baxter, could you go ahead and finish up your testimony, please?
The fact that Alaska can support Israel in the testing and development of an effective missile defense system to the use of our Kodiak launch facility is further collaboration, especially between the state of Alaska and Israel. And if we fail to pass this legislation, what kind of a message does that send to Israel? Also, it's not just the area of missile defense that Israeli technology benefits. When we provide defense aid to Israel, they're required to purchase back from the United States.
Sorry about that. There's a time limit. Mr. Steve Zellner, if you're online, if you'd like to introduce yourself and bring forth your testimony.
Yes. thank you for the body that's putting this legislation forward. I support House Bill 2. My name is Steve Zellner. I'm a businessman. I own commercial properties in Anchorage. I have been in Alaska since 1984. I want to talk about something that is very important here. I was born in Ukraine, Kiev. As a child, I was brought to Israel and lived in Israel for 2.5 years during the Yom Kippur War. And I've been in Alaska for a long time. I've never experienced anti-Semitism in the United States, but I have experienced it in Ukraine. and it's a very problematic thing to talk hypothetically about it versus living in it. And one of the challenges that's occurring right now in the United States is there's more and more anti-Semitic attacks against Jewish students on campuses, including campuses in Alaska. And it creates a big problem. I think legislature that the reason I'm supporting that is because any creation of more anti-Semitism in Alaska continues to destroy our culture and continues to destroy and friendships with people and makes it impossible for young people to study and go to school. So I thank this body, and I hope you make the right decision.
Thank you, Mr. Zellner.
Thank you.
Next in the queue is Sarah Beller. If you'd like to introduce yourself and provide your testimony, please.
Thank you. My name is Sarah Beller. I'm an Anchorage resident, an attorney, and a proud Jew. I'm a member of Congregation Best Shalom, but I'm speaking today on my own behalf in strong opposition to this dangerous bill. This bill does not make Jews safer in Alaska or anywhere in our country, and it does not help Israel. Instead, it chills protected free speech. It allows the government to dictate what Alaskans can think and how they can spend their money or not spend their money. This bill likely violates the First Amendment because it coerces businesses and organizations into certain political views and actions based solely on what the government decides is acceptable. Regardless of your thoughts on Israel, even if you support Israel, this bill is a return to McCarthyism. The bill was written by a far-right organization, ALEC, that is pushing the same law in dozens of states around the country. And similar bills in other states have been extended to block environmental activism and other causes that the party in power in that state wishes to suppress. We shouldn't allow out-of-state money to dictate what Alaskans can believe and where they can shop or spend their money. I know from my family history in Germany, the dark places where government thought, where government control of thought and speech can lead. I strongly urge all of you to vote no on HB2. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Beller. Next in the queue is Geraldine Prime. Introduce yourself, please, and give us your testimony.
Yes, hello. My name is Geraldine Prime. I'm calling from Anchorage. I support HB2. I believe that there is a need for HB2, and I believe that the measure is vital to Israel and to the local Jewish community. I do think there is an increase of anti-Semitism in the city. Let's see, what else? And I do support it wholeheartedly. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Prime. Next in the queue is Candy Miller. Please introduce yourself and give us your testimony.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Candy Miller, we can hear you.
Yes, I'm Candy Miller from the Mat-Su Valley. I'm calling on behalf of myself. And thank you so much for having this hearing. I am in favor of, I support HB 2, and I'm definitely in favor of policies and legislation that support sound positions aimed at creating a strong U.S.-Israel relationship. We have a lot of friends that are Jewish, and we have friends that have been to Israel, that are even people living in Israel and making Aliyah. To summarize it, I appreciate what everyone has been speaking, and so yes, please support HB2. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Miller. Next in the queue, we have Alex Petkathis. Introduce yourself and give us your testimony, please.
Yes. Hi, my name is Alex Petkathis. I am a practicing Jew in Anchorage, Alaska. I attend Congregation Bethshalom regularly for services and for adult learning classes, and I strongly oppose this bill. This legislation is an affront to free speech and would do nothing to protect me as a Jew. Anti-Semitism is not the same as being anti-Israel. Israel is not my homeland. I have a right to oppose the harm done to Palestinian people by a violent government in my name. The State of Israel does not represent me as a Jew and has nothing to do with my relationship with God. As an American, I have a right to free speech and protest against my own government. I find it to be a disturbing constitutional violation for the state of Alaska to try to take away that right. Further, the state of Alaska should not be playing a role in foreign policy, which I hear many people talking about the relationship with Israel and the importance of building that relationship. That is not the role for the state of Alaska to be taking. I implore you to oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Petkathis. Next in the queue is Philip Mosier. If you'd introduce yourself and provide your testimony, please.
My name is Philip Mosier. I'm from Juneau. I'm calling in opposition to this bill. I find it not credible, and I find it really harmful. I'm incredulous that this bill is coming out from people in power that have not looked into and have not spoken up about things like Alaskan lawmakers defending the use of a Three Reich or Fuhrer license plate. I find it incredulous to come from the same body of lawmakers that did not raise questions about a fellow lawmaker linking to an anti or a Holocaust denial website. I find it incredulous that this action is coming from the same law body that decried the situation in Russia yet still has the vast majority of their funds invested in the same things that they said that they were going to divest from. I consider myself really good at knowing where fascism is rising and where fascism is not a threat. And I find it incredulous that this bill is coming from the same legislative body and the same legislative movement that is forwarding or has forwarded anti-trans bills. While we've seen even within this last week that the anti-trans movement and neo-Nazis go hand in hand, as in Ohio, where open neo-Nazis flew flags and shouted anti-Semitic slurs at a drag story hour. It's hard to say because the movement BDS against Israel is legitimate, and that is not anti-Semitic. Israel is an apartheid state, and if you don't believe me, you could believe Nelson Mandela, who advocated for Palestinians and called Israel so for decades after his release from prison and his fight for the end of apartheid in South Africa. I find it incredulous that this body is defending the anti-BDS movement when not even a month ago, the killing of two Israeli citizens led to full-on riots where people cheered as whole neighborhoods burned down. And where even within this past week, legislation is going through the lawmaking body of Israel, creating a two-tier system where Palestinians are at risk of getting the death penalty for killing people, but the same does not apply to Israelites in their homeland.
Mr. Mosher, could you finish your testimony, please?
Yes, I would like to say I'm in opposition to this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mosher. Okay, that concludes public testimony. Is there anybody in the room who would like to provide testimony on House Bill 2? Seeing none. I don't see anyone else online to provide testimony. Representative Vance, would you like to come up for any final comments? Close public testimony. My apologies. Representative Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Vance of House District 6, for the record. I want to thank all of the testifiers for taking their time out to speak to this important bill. And I just want to clarify and restate that this bill is just having to do with state contracts relating to Israel. Israel is our ally, as many have stated. And we do business with Israel, and this would simply be reinforcing that support. But there were questions about the freedom of speech that is specifically addressed in the bill itself that says that this does in no way infringe upon an individual's right to free speech. We want to make sure that that is very clearly stated. It is outlined in the bill. It just is making a statement that our use of State of Alaska dollars will be limiting those businesses who choose to boycott Israel who have more than 10 employees and have more than $100,000. Also, could this be legally challenged? And the answer is that it's been passed in 34 other – this bill has been passed in 34 other states, and it has been legally challenged. And I just want to quote from the material that I did provide to the committee – asking the question, and in one case, it went before the Eighth Circuit Court to dispute the stems from two of the three judges taking issue with one missing word. And just to be thorough, that one missing word was added to this Alaska bill so that there would not be any question of that coming before the courts again. So the Alaska version that you have before you today is from the lesson learned through the courts, and it's the creme de la creme of this legislation. And it is a sound policy that has been vetted through the courts, through many other states, and simply is giving us the authority to justify our Alaskan dollars in support of our ally with the state of Alaska. So Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for your support on House Bill 2, and I'm willing to answer any further questions.
Representative Vance, any questions from the committee members? Representative Story.
Thank you, Chair Shaw. Through the chair, so through this legislation, we would be limiting any contract the state of Alaska does with a public agency if they were participating in any of these, and if they were advertising to boycott Israel.
Through the chair, Representative Story, any businesses with more than $100,000 threshold and 10 employees. So smaller businesses would not be impacted. This is the larger corporations. If it is chosen that by business means they're choosing to boycott Israel, that the state of Alaska would not hold contracts with them.
Follow up. Why are you exempting the permanent fund?
Thank you for that question, Representative Story, through the chair. It has been long-held tradition in this body that we want the permanent fund corporation to make its investments for financial purposes only and have not engaged on what could be considered social issues. And as one member of the body called it a lightning rod issue, and I did not want to include that in this, but it does it's just a larger consideration, and I'd like to be able to keep the permanent fund based on financial decisions.
One follow-up? I guess I'm trying to remember for last time. I asked if the state currently has any contracts that would be affected by this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jake Almeida, staff to Representative Vance. Through the chair, Representative Story, we are getting that answer. I got confirmation today from the Department of Administration, and they have a lot going on, but they said they will have a number for us, hopefully by the end of this week, as to how many contracts that is. And again, it's any contract that's more than 10 employees and has a contract value of more than $100,000 that this bill would apply to. So however many of those existing contracts there are, we will have that answer to the committee.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Representative Armstrong, you're online. Do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions at this time. Thank you.
Okay, when we first heard this legislation, we set an amendment deadline. The committee did not receive any proposed amendments at that time. However, since that hearing, we have adopted a committee substitute with a minor change, and we have now heard public testimony. At this time, I would like to ask members if there's an interest in amending the current version of this bill. Seeing none, what is the will of the committee regarding House Bill 2?
Mr. Chairman, I move committee substitute for House Bill 2, Work Order 33LS0084B, out of committee with the attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Thank you. Without objection, committee substitute for House Bill 2 moves out of House State Affairs with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations. At this time, we'll take a brief at ease to sign the bill paperwork and to prepare for our next item of business. Back on the record, our second order of business is House Bill 23, an act establishing the month of October as Filipino American History Month, sponsored by Representative Mina. We first heard this bill on February 28th, at which time we heard the presentation of the bill and took invited and public testimony. We also set an amendment deadline of last Monday at noon for amendments, and as of today, we have received no proposed amendments for the committee's consideration. I'd like to invite the sponsor of the table to the table, along with her staff, Rose Hart, to answer any questions the committee may have. Are there any questions from the committee? Yeah. What is the will of the committee regarding House Bill 23?
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 23, Work Order 33LS0263A, out of committee with a zero fiscal note attached and individual recommendations.
Seeing no objections, take a brief at ease. Without objection, House Bill 23 moves out of House State Affairs with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations. At this time, we'll take a brief at ease to sign the bill paperwork and to prepare for our next item of business. Back on the record, final order of business today is House Joint Resolution 3. Record, we're going to backtrack just for a second. Representative Story would like to make a comment on the previous bill.
Thank you, Chair Shaw. Sorry I didn't speak up sooner. I just wanted to say that there's a lot of enthusiasm for this bill. The Filipino community is really excited about it, and Representative Mina gave us a talk at the Filipino Community Hall a couple weeks ago, and it was very moving. And anyway, there's a lot of excitement about this potential month coming up, depending upon what happens with the bill. So I just wanted to thank her for bringing it forward. Thank you.
Thank you for putting that on the record. Okay, we'll be back to our final order of business in House Joint Resolution 3, encouraging Congress to pass the Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act, sponsored by Representative Rauscher. We first heard this bill on February 28th, at which time we heard the presentation of the bill and took invited and public testimony. We also set an amendment deadline for last Monday at noon for amendments, and as of today, we have received no amendments for the committee's consideration. I'd like to invite the sponsor to the table, along with his staff, to answer any questions the committee may have. Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Story.
Yes, thank you, Chair Shaw. Through the chair, thank you, Rep. Rauscher, for bringing this forward to talk about and present it to the committee. I unfortunately wasn't able to be here last week, but I was able to listen to the committee hearing, and was good to know that this bill with concealed carry would, the laws of the home state would continue to be in place, which I know we're all about local control and for Alaskans. My concern was how to educate people about going from state to state and the different requirements for conceal and carry, such as in Seattle, there needs to be a mental health background check. And I know from listening to the tape that we would have to follow the laws in that home state. So my question is, had you thought about putting an education component with the resolution? Because I think it would be really important that people, when they travel from state to state, I'm afraid that the resolution, if it passes, makes everyone think that I can just, whatever the laws in Alaska are, they're the same across the 50 states. So I was wondering if you thought about an education component in the resolution.
For the record, Representative Rauscher, through the chair, Representative Story, I appreciate the question. I have not, and the reason I didn't was because when hunters go from state to state, they always check out what the regulations are for handling the weapons when they get to that state. I think it's pertinent for any person who is planning on carrying a weapon with them, the way they want to, is up to them to find out how the laws in the state are that they're going to be going through. And I think it's important to them. I'm not sure we could put a class on for all 50 states and then existing territories in the United States to understand how that will actually play out in each state to be able to have classes for that. I'm not sure whether I would understand how big the fiscal note on a class of that size would be, nor how to present it, which is why I didn't put a requirement for that in this bill.
Follow up. I was thinking, through the chair, Rep. Rauscher, I was thinking more of just general, like, public service announcements, notice, encouraging things like that to be delivered through each state, the resolution saying something like that through each state, such as our own state of Alaska, where you have to be 21 for conceal and carry. In some other states, you're younger. And so if people come into the state, they would know. So that I just meant to offer that. And I did not offer amendment. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up for your thoughts on it.
And for the record, Representative Rauscher, through the chair, Representative Story, I appreciate that thought. And, you know, I will take it in consideration as we go forward and try to, you know, assimilate that in my head, how that may play out around in the future. So I appreciate the question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional questions from the committee members? Representative Rauscher, would you like to make any further comments on your legislation?
No, I do appreciate, thank you very much, to the chair. I do appreciate the fact that you considered this bill. This is one that I've carried for a few years. And this one, to me, as somebody who does carry a weapon on me from time to time, wherever that may be, I do consider this to be something that's very important for people who do travel. I have relatives in the lower 48. There are military that are in the lower 48 that also come up here to Alaska and vice versa. And so I think this is a very important bill for everybody in account there. And I just appreciate the fact that you guys took it up and were willing to hear it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. Any additional comments? Seeing none. What is the will of the committee regarding House Joint Resolution 3?
Mr. Chairman, I move committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 3, Work Order 33LS0159S, out of committee with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Without objection, House Joint Resolution 3 moves out of House State Affairs with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations. With that, we will adjourn. This concludes our business for this hearing, and with that, this meeting is adjourned at 4:04 p.m. If members would please stay to complete the paperwork. Thank you.